Somebody texted and given me guff, which I enjoy. I enjoy guff. But somebody, right before the previous break, I said I'm not really into AC/DC, but I like their music. And somebody texted in and said, well, if you're into their music, or if you like their music, doesn't that mean you're into them? What I meant was, I'm not like spending my time on an AC/DC message board, like Jeopardy people do, apparently. I like their music, but I don't know every single fact about AC/DC. How can you not like AC/DC? At least have your foot tap to it or kind of go, yeah, when a song like that comes on.
Pretty easily, I think.
Really?
Yeah. You don't like screaming. You know, people don't like screaming voices, and that's what he does for most of the song. It sounds like it anyways.
So you don't like Brian Johnson?
Well, it's not what I said. I said I could understand why people wouldn't like AC/DC.
So do you like AC/DC?
Well, of course I like AC/DC.
Okay, then.
But I'm defending the little people out there. The small man.
So you have to be a small man to not like AC/DC?
That's not what I said. You know what?
I'm trying to put words in your mouth and you're not falling for it.
No, I'm not.
It's a trick I often use with you, and you usually fall for it, and you're not doing it today. You're catching on after 2 years of working for me behind the board. I appreciate that. Let's go to Pierre, South Dakota, and check in with possibly South Dakota's largest AC/DC fan. I don't know that. His name is Senator Jason Frerichs. He's from Wilmot, South Dakota, beautiful part of South Dakota. He joins now on the Mike McFeely Show. Hello, Senator Frerichs. How are you?
Born to be wild. Let's go. You bet. AC/DC all the way. But hey, Mike, we just passed a statewide texting ban, and I guess, you know, that's probably the biggest issue to come out of this session. And I say that because it is important, but it's amazing. That's all she wrote for the texting ban. It just came out of the state Senate, confirmed the conference report, and it goes to the governor.
I am surprised by this, that the state of South Dakota has banned texting and driving statewide. I picture your state, Jason, somewhat politically aligned with North Dakota, where it's very conservative, and conservatives and Republicans control the legislature and the governor's mansion. To me, I would think a lot of people in your state would say, well, that's infringement on people's rights, but it's been passed. It's law. It's going to be law when the Dugard signs it, right?
That's correct. July 1st, it would go into effect. And, you know, this bill had, I mean, ever since I've been in the state Senate, which is 4 years now or four sessions, we've always dealt with the issue. And each year it comes up and the whole, you know, personal freedom argument is debated. But it was very interesting how the bill that we had before us today that was ultimately conferenced and went back to various versions, it just about was flat out dead. I was a deciding vote in the Senate State Affairs Committee. The bill that this 1177, it started out as being taking away all of the local control as far as various cities that may have texting ordinances, and just said we would have a statewide ban. And of course, that made a lot of the cities and especially police chiefs pretty frustrated because they have passed, whether it's in Pennington County and Sioux Falls, Watertown, Aberdeen, so various what we would call metropolitan areas throughout South Dakota. And so what was before us was a bill, and people that even liked the texting ban voted no on that because they said that it was the wrong message to send to people that are out in these cities that already had a texting ban. And so I passed the first time not knowing that it would be that close, but just to kind of give myself a little more time to see, which direction that would go, because I've always supported a texting ban, but a little bit hesitant to take away local control. But as the vote came back to me, I did the numbers, and it was a 4-4 at that point, and so it takes 5 votes to pass the bill out of committee. And I went ahead and gave it the support, knowing that it would have to be conference committeed, and that's what happened. It could have died numerous times. There was the first conference committee didn't come up with the resolution, and now we came back, and I think it is a good testament to the citizen legislature. We know that it's an issue, and I guess where many folks come on the lines, even those that are strong Tea Party folks, they agree that if we can at least save one life and have something in this case that a secondary offense, they can't pull you over for it. They have to have other reasons, of course, to pull you over, and that the phone couldn't be seized unless it's being used for some other type of crime that certainly is grounds for seizing property.
So July 1st, all of that goes into effect.
That's correct. Yep. Secondary offense, kind of like our seatbelt. But instead of being $20 on a seatbelt, it's $100 for the texting while driving.
That's a little number that'll get your attention. $100.
It will, and in most cases, we're not quite as hefty as your home state and area over there across the border into Minnesota. I know you guys hit us pretty hard for speeding tickets, but you know, if you had a $100 or $90 speeding ticket, you'd just basically would double that if they wanted to tack it on. But of course, it may be used as something to, give people the chance to put the phone away and hopefully keep their eyes on the road and just know that it obviously, some people say, I mean, just think of an entire football field of not looking at the road. That's about the average time of one text message.
Jason Furyk, state senator from South Dakota, our guest on Mike McFeely Show. He's from Wilmot, which is strong KFGO country. That's why we like having Senator Furyk on. Where are you with the budget, Jason? I get the sense, and correct me if I'm wrong, please do. You've done it before, and you're always welcome to do that, that you think the texting ban, I'm not going to say it's a secondary issue because it's important, but I know that you're always way more focused on budgets and taking care of people in your state. So where are you sitting with that?
Well, that's for sure. We're at the point now where the Joint Appropriations Committee, they usually spend these final days, being all the other policy bills have been either passed or tabled in the legislature. They just started right now as we speak, started their deliberations. They'll meet for about an hour and a half today and work through a few of the bills or the various amendments to the general bill. And then tomorrow, probably in about 24 hours from now, we would expect to be voting on the final bill. And I guess where we're at right now, there's some good things. Education and Medicaid, which are our two biggest investments we make from a state, they're set to get 3% increase from last year's budget, which has been a long time. In fact, I don't remember the last time. It probably would have been one of my first or second years in the legislature that we actually were able to give 3%. So that's been a good thing. But what's still unfortunate, we just got the hard copy formal letter from Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, and I know when we talked on the air here just within the last few weeks, we had the call with the federal HHS, and certainly they're not going to give a partial waiver to South Dakota. We have to do the full 138% expansion of Medicaid to get the $272 million investment in our state. So that's probably going to be the biggest issue, yes, that will not be resolved and still be lingering out there as we pack up our bags and leave here tomorrow evening and put the books in on this 2014 legislative session here in Pierre. So that's kind of where we stand. There are another good thing, though, too, is that aside from the 3%, there's also talk that we can get some more help to our teachers. And that's really good to see, because at the beginning of session, the House passed a resolution acknowledging that we have a teacher shortage across the state. And yet it came over to the Senate, and I had our Senator Chuck Welke, who represents the area kind of south around Watertown. I had him speak because he's a long time, 30-some years teaching in the field, speak about this resolution. And then it came to the vote, and it failed. And it failed, and yet anybody who spoke no on that resolution didn't even say a word, because I think they kind of felt guilty by not supporting that. And so we started off session on a kind of sour note in terms of acknowledging the importance and profession of teachers. And closing out, it looks like we're at the point where, hey, maybe we can get them at least a 3.8, maybe 4% raise in their salary. Not a bonus, do a raise, help out the base, and obviously make a difference, because our teachers, they make our kids flat out smarter, and obviously make more money when they graduate and go on to come back and stay here in South Dakota.
That's all good stuff. Senator Furyk, I'm up against the clock here, my friend. Thank you. You guys are wrapping up your session tomorrow. Are you going to be done out of there tomorrow?
We will be out, and then we take a two-week sabbatical. I'll get the calving barn set up, and then we'll come back for one day in case the governor vetoes any bills. I'm still waiting on him to sign a bill for me, Senate Bill 104, which allows night vision for taking out those predators, especially the coyotes, even though the coyotes and the bison did pretty well in the Summit League. So.
Yeah, your jackrabbits didn't come out of the Summit League so well, did they? Either the men or the women, Jason.
we just kind of fell asleep.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you. We'll get together again sometime and get you on, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks.
Yep, you bet. Senator Jason Frerichs, Wilmot, South Dakota. And